And like I said, there are sins that we can commit that can follow us the rest of our lives, but we could still be Christians. Consequences of sins are not an indication of our salvation.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Hold On, and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today's sermon is Hold On. Our key verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Have you guys ever felt like you're just being pressed on every side of your life? Have you ever gone through something where you just feel like everything and everyone is up against you? You're between a rock and a hard place. You just got no relief. It just feels like the very life is being squeezed out of you, like you're suffocating, right? But we're not crushed as Christians. We're not crushed. See, the Christian has Christ. And when we hold on to Christ, we're not crushed in those times. Other people that don't have Jesus, they might look at you and say, man, I don't know how they're making it. I don't know how they're getting through this. It's amazing. They're not being destroyed. They're not being crushed by all the pressures in their life. We are perplexed. You ever feel like life doesn't make any sense? You're confused. You feel a little bit lost. But you know what? You're not in despair when you have Jesus. You're not in despair. I tell you what, people who don't have Jesus, they're in despair. Their whole souls are in despair. They have no hope. To be in despair means to have no hope whatsoever. Now, Christians might be hard-pressed on every side, and they might get perplexed, but they're not in despair. They're not hopeless. Even the darkest, deepest, hardest times of a Christian's life still gives them hope, knowing that there is a God and that his son Jesus Christ died for us and that this life is not the end of life. Amen. It's not the only life. We have a greater hope. Amen. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. As Christians, people will make fun of us who are not Christians. As Christians, we will be attacked, but we're not forsaken. We have a God that remembers us, that cares for us, that stands by us through everything, even when your friends leave you, even when your family deserts you, even when your closest loved one deserts you. Christ is there in the midst of the nights that you can't sleep. Christ is there in the middle of the trouble that's got you beat. Christ is there. And you know, there are some Christians that are struck down. They're killed. Now, we don't experience that kind of persecution here in America, but there are Christians in other countries that are killed. They're struck down. Of course, there's Christians that die of natural causes. Christians die, but not destroyed. Not destroyed. There is an eternal life for the Christian that the non-believer doesn't have. That's where their despair comes in. Amen? So today, I'm here to tell you to hold on. Don't give up. Don't let go of what God has planted in your heart. Don't let go of that. God placed you in a loving, caring church. Not because I love you so much, but look around you. Everybody in here cares about everyone, don't we? God has placed you in a place where you are safe. Now, you're not safe Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, but you can come here on Wednesday and find a safe place. Amen? You can come here on Sunday and find a safe place. You can call my wife and I or other people in the church and find a safe place. People who will pray for you, pray with you, talk with you when you need an ear. Amen? We're here for you. So hold on. Hold on. Life isn't easy. You need a friend to get through. Christ is your friend, but you know he wants to send you people. He wants to send you friends, Christian friends. Where do you find Christian friends at? You find them at church, don't you? That's where you find them. Hold on. Hold on to your church. Hold on to your Christian friends. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Hold on to whatever God's given you because it is precious in this world. It is precious. If God's given you a church, and he has, hold on. God's given you Christian friends, he has. Hold on. Hold on. Don't let go of that. Don't let Satan take it from you. Don't let him lie about your church to you. Don't let him lie about God's word to you. Don't let him lie about your Christian friends. Hold on. God does not promise us that we will have it easy as Christians. Understand that right now, that the Bible does not promise an easy life for Christians. But he does promise that he will be with us through everything and everyone who comes up against us. I'm sorry, but being a Christian does not excuse you from life. There are things in life that will come up against you and attack you. We just live in a world that happens in. But we have an advocate. We have a helper. We must hold on to him. I can't save you. I can't help you through every problem. I can help you through some. I can help you through some, but I can't do it all. You have to hold on to Jesus. And this is so important because, listen, I can give you the Word of God. I can teach you the Word of God, but I cannot hold on to Jesus for you. When you leave my presence, when you leave the church, you got to keep hanging on to him. It's your responsibility. It is your relationship. I've married people in this church. I don't go home with them and keep their relationship together. Amen? They have to go home and make the marriage work. You have to go home and make your relationship with Jesus work. Coming to church and forgetting about him the rest of the week, it don't work. That doesn't work out. You got to pray to him. You got to read his word. You got to fellowship. And you got to hold on. It is your responsibility. Now listen, I got 3 points today that I want to make. First of all, as Christians, we can endure, we can hold on because the victory has already been delivered. See, a lot of Christians, I'm telling you, a lot of Christians don't understand that the victory has already been delivered to you. The devil don't want you to know this. 1 Corinthians 15:57 reads, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You got to be thanking God because he gave you Jesus Christ. Listen, you're no longer condemned for your sins. You have been given a clean slate. Now, that doesn't mean a license to continue sinning, amen? It means that you have been forgiven. And it means that now, that since you've been forgiven, you are worthy in God's sight through his son Jesus to come to his throne and approach him and pray. You can actually pray to God as a Christian, and the Lord Almighty God will hear your prayers. And one of the biggest arguments I get from people, "Well, why should I come to God? He never listens to my prayers." God does not listen to the prayers of sinners. If you are not saved through Jesus Christ, he does not hear your prayers. But if you are a Christian, all of that changes. You have the victory. You can come to God and ask anything in his will, and he will do it. He will do it. He may not do it the way you thought he would do it. He may not do it the way you want him to do it. But he will do it. if it's in his will. Christians can stop waiting for their, quote, ship to come in. It's already arrived. I talk to Christians all the time, and they're telling me, I'll be happy when. When what? Well, when this happens for me. Well, what can top Jesus Christ dying for your sins? Well, that's good, but there's some other stuff I want God to work out for me before I feel I have the victory. Nonsense. Jesus didn't come to get rid of all your problems. He came to defeat sin. He came to overcome death. You got a bigger problem coming if you don't have Jesus. Does anybody know what that bigger problem is if you don't have Jesus? It's called hell. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're going there. I don't believe anybody in here is going there because we all have Jesus. Jesus gives us the victory over sin and its consequence, which is death. Spiritual death. Spiritual death. And we all know that some sins can kill you physically too. Amen. They might take a little while, but they'll catch up with you, won't they? Amen. Too many Christians live a defeated life because they do not acknowledge the victory they have in Christ. Oh, God could never forgive me for all of my sins. I just done too many of them. And sometimes I keep doing them. I don't mean to, but sometimes I make mistakes. He don't love me like he does real Christians. Well, that's a defeated attitude. That's a defeated attitude. See, I don't serve a losing God. It was never up to me to be forgiven anyways. Grace comes from God through Jesus. He did it all. Why should I try to take any credit for it? But too many Christians live a defeated life because they feel that they've done too much in their past for God to forgive them. And there are Christians who have done a lot of bad things in their past, and they become Christians because of the consequence of their sin. Did you know that sin's consequence can drive you to hold on to Jesus? Why do you think he put the consequences there? To drive you to him. If he kept letting you get away with everything, you wouldn't be saying, oh, please, God, save me from this trouble that I know I deserve. How many of us done that? We done something we weren't supposed to do, and then we're asking God to help us out of it. We knew when we're asking for his help, he was the one punishing us, right? Because we deserved it. And he does that so that we will run to him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can be defeated by thinking that Jesus has not forgiven you. If you believe that Jesus hasn't washed your sins away, then you will live a defeated life. Because the devil will come and he will condemn you every time you try to do a good work for God. You're not worthy. Why are you doing that for God? You're a sinner and you know what you've done. And like I said, there are sins that we can commit that can follow us the rest of our lives, but we can still be Christians. Consequences of sins are not an indication of our salvation. You could mess up before you became a Christian and get into a world of hurt, become a Christian, and still be feeling the consequences of that sin. But that doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you got to hold on. You got to hold on, acknowledging that what you did was wrong and you're feeling the consequence of it, but you're still holding on to Jesus despite it. Does anybody follow what I'm saying here? Everybody getting this? So don't look at Christians who love God, who fear God, who accept Jesus, but they're feeling the consequence of a past non-Christian life, of a past sin that God's washed away, but they're still living through it. Don't look at them and judge them. God's working them through that consequence. Doesn't mean he loves them any less. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Always. I'm sorry, does that say sometimes? What was that? Always. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us. Through us. Diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. See, listen. When people see you, they should smell God all over you. You should reek of God. You should reek of Jesus. people should, you should walk into a room and people's back could be to you. And they go, ooh, I smell Jesus. And he said, yeah, he's with me. I just got him dripping all off of me. Here, you want some? Here you go. Spread it around the room like perfume. Amen? People should know at your job you're a Christian. People who cuss around you should say, whoa, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cuss around you. I know you're a Christian, and it offends you. People who tell dirty jokes should stop when you walk into a room. You should bring the fragrance of Jesus everywhere you go. People should be afraid of God and crossing one of his children when you walk into the room because they feel his power and protection over you. Amen? You follow what I'm saying? I didn't say this, actually. The Bible said it. Through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place, every place. See, listen, it's not just in church you should smell like a Christian, look like a Christian, act like a Christian. It's everywhere you go. It's with every person you're with. And if you're hanging out with people that are not letting you be Jesus, right, not letting you have the fragrance of Jesus about you, you got a problem and they got a problem. You need to check yourself. And you need to put on Jesus and get away from those people. Move on. Now, if you got to work with them, that's a different story, isn't it? Then you got to be an impact on their life. Number two, as Christians, we can endure, we can hold on, because God is more powerful than the world against us. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you. Now, this is Jesus speaking. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Listen, I know the world's against you. It's against me. Now, there are some people who actually believe that pastors have no problems, that we get a smooth ride with God. And God just sits there and goes, oh, he's my anointed one. The devil's got to leave him alone. Boy, I wish that was true. But listen, yes, we've got tribulations. Christ said that we are going to have problems. But he overcame the world. The world can't destroy you. God has to take you out. You understand that? Your life is in the hands of God. And the only reason why he hasn't taken you out is not because he loves you so much he wants to keep you here. Actually, the Bible says he rejoices in taking saints home to him. But he's leaving us behind so that we may what? Preach the gospel and witness and be doing good works in his name to draw more people into the kingdom. Amen? So we can endure, we can hold on, because God is more powerful than the world against us. Now, listen, if I had a dime for every Christian who told me they couldn't do the ministry that God told them to do because they didn't have the money or the power or the resources or the connections, I'd be a rich pastor. Because listen, I want to tell you something. God can make anything happen that he's asking you to do, as long as you're obedient in doing it. So listen, as soon as you try to do something for God, like come to church, seriously, things are going to happen. Your alarm clock's not going to go off. It's going to be raining right over your house and nobody else's, so you don't want to get out and get wet, right? Your car is going to break down Sunday morning. There's going to be a fight in your house and you're not going to feel like coming to church. The neighbor's going to be giving you trouble. Problems are going to happen because Satan is trying to stop you from doing what God has asked you to do. Amen. But understand that you could get on your knees and you can pray about it, and God can deliver you out of that trouble. In order to do his will. In order to do his will. See, that's the whole key. You've got to be asking God, what is your will? And when he reveals it to you, understand that Satan is going to come and try to mess with you and stop you. But you can get on your knees and humble yourself and say, God, help me do it. Being a Christian does not exempt you from troubles, but it does provide you with a helper to get you through them. Who's the helper? The Holy Spirit. John 14:26, this is Jesus speaking. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Woo! I want to tell you something. This is powerful because the Word of God is powerful. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you and he starts talking to you about God's word, you should start listening and you should start believing and you should start applying it. You should start praying that word, because that's why the Helper is called the Helper. Because if you listen to the Helper and you apply what the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is saying to you, you're going to have victory, because God's word is power. Now, listen. This is what grieves me the most. People come to me and they tell me, what do I need to do? What shall I do? I don't always have the answer in every situation, but often God will give me a scripture or a principle, and I will tell that person, this is what I believe God is telling me to tell you. And they will leave and they will not do what the Holy Spirit said through me for them to do. And they live a defeated life. They come back 2 or 3 days later or whenever, and they say, huh, things are worse. Well, did you do what I asked you to do? No, I didn't do that. Why not? I just didn't think that was going to work. I don't know. I didn't do it. Listen, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. And you can't always hear what God is telling you. Amen? Raise your hand if you missed what God was telling you a time or another. I know I did. Sometimes we ain't listening to God. So God will send somebody with the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit you got, and they will tell you the same thing that you've been hearing. Well, that's kind of funny you should say that, because I've been hearing that all week. Then do it. Amen. Do it. It's confirmation if you keep hearing it over and over again, and it lines up with the Word of God. And it lines up with the Word of God. Because you can hear things over and over again, right? Doesn't mean that you should do them. It has to line up with the Word of God. Okay. The Holy Spirit reminds us of God's Word, and when we heed Him and apply it to our lives and to others, we have victory. See, I told you this at the beginning. I can only give you the Word of God, right? I can't go home with you and work your relationship out with Christ in your home. You have to teach your children about Jesus. I'm not there to tuck them in at night, okay? You have to speak God's word around your house. I'm not there during the day, right? You have to be the witness for Christ at work, around your family, around your friends. And if they won't listen to your words, then live a life that reflects Him and they'll see Jesus. Amen? There's an old saying. Preach the gospel and sometimes use words, right? The rest of the time we, amen. Isaiah 54:7. Now listen to this, guys. This will help you hold on. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. You got an inheritance from God. Nobody can mess with you without God dealing with them. Now, the devil will try to form a weapon against you. Does it not say that no weapon formed against you shall prosper? It doesn't say that no weapon shall be formed against you. Does it say that? No. It says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That means weapons are going to be formed against you. Satan will come up into your life and form a weapon against you. But is he going to prosper? No. For the Christian, Satan, we have victory over Satan. Christians have victory over him. We don't have to listen to him, and he doesn't have any more power than what God allows him to have in our lives. We have to hold on. We have to hold on if we don't want to lose what God has given us in this life, which is victory, life now, life more abundant. Why are we living a defeated life? Because we're not applying the principles to the Word of God to our lives. Amen? Point number three, as Christians, we can endure, we can hold on, because we have eternal blessings awaiting us. Now, you may not have everything you want now. You may not have everything that you desire. You might feel shortchanged in this life. Matthew 6:19-21 says this: "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, what Jesus is saying is that the materialistic things that we have in life today, man, those things are going to, look, you can get a new car today, and that car is going to break down sooner or later. Things break. Things wear out. And you can't take it with you when you die, can you? Raise your hand if you can take your stuff with you. You can try. It can be buried with you, but you ain't taking it with you, amen? All right, listen. A Christian's treasure is not of this world. Our treasure is in Christ Jesus. Pastor, that sounds real boring. Why would I want him to be my treasure? Some of you are thinking that. I know. For some of you, Christ isn't enough. What do you think we're going to be doing in heaven? Heaven is all about Jesus. And if you don't want to spend time with him here and now, you're going to be pretty bored eternally. Amen? You're going to be pretty bored. Whatever we treasure in our lives, our hearts will be devoted to it. Mm-hmm. So you can always see where somebody's coming at you with, right? You can always tell a person's character because they're doing what their hearts desire them to do. See what I mean? See, that's why you can have a person who says, I'm a Christian, and I believe in God, and I'm saved, and blah, 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 right? But you can witness what they're doing and tell where they're going and who they're with. Well, I'm with Jesus. Okay, then why are you hanging around people like that? I don't see Jesus hanging out with people like that. Why are you hanging out? See, if you love Jesus, you will do the things that Jesus does. Amen? Right? You will do the things that Jesus does. So whatever we treasure in our lives, our hearts will be devoted to. Whatever we treasure in our lives, our hearts will be devoted to it. Look around in your life and look at what you're devoting yourself to. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because if it doesn't line up with Jesus, there's going to be a reaping time. Whatever it is that you're into right now that doesn't line up with God, you might be having your fun. You might be enjoying yourself right now with that thing. But that thing that you think you own, that thing that you believe you control, that thing that you want so bad will end up having you. That thing that you thought you controlled will be controlling your life. That thing that you thought you wanted so bad, you won't be able to wait to get rid of it. You'll be praying it away instead of praying it to stay because it didn't line up with God. There's a consequence coming. Let it go now. Let it go now before it's too late. Because there are consequences that can follow you the rest of your life. There are consequences that you can't get rid of. They'll stay with you. Every time you look behind you, it's right there. And then you turn around, it's in your face. Because of something you did that didn't line up with God. Something you treasured that did not line up with God. If we treasure Christ, our lives will reflect him. Our lives will reflect him. Amen. In conclusion, I want to say we must hold on to the promises God has made us in his word. Fellows, ladies, this is a beautiful book. And I know that sometimes we think it's a little boring. Sometimes we think it's a little hard to read. But once you start digging in here and you get these promises out of the word, you're going to realize that you are very, very, very special to God, that he loves you unconditionally. Amen. And he wants to take care of you, but it's up to you to receive that care, right? I can't make you guys come to church, can I? And Christ cannot make you come to the Bible. You got to desire it, and then you got to do it. You got to discipline yourself. You can't just say, I want to be a Christian so bad, and I want to read my Bible. No, you got to get up and do it. That's like saying, I want to go to school and get an education, but I'm going to sit at home and hope it just happens. You got to show up. right? And some people go to school and they'll learn more at the school than they will out of their Bible. And this thing will save your soul. This book will save your soul. You'll go to college after you get out of high school for 12 years, and you'll go through tens of books, tens and twenties of books. I know I went to college. And you'll read all that stuff and get indoctrinated, right? You won't even pick up this Bible until you run into a whole bunch of trouble, and then you're scared, and then you're reading it going, ooh, what do I got to do to get out of this? Amen? Am I speaking some truth? Hold on to these promises now. Get into this book now. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. We must hold on to the power we have in Christ. Listen, it's not just words that transform our lives. These words transforms other people's lives. There's power in praying to God. God can move mountains. And last but not least, we must hold on to the treasures we have been given, that being the very Son of God, Jesus. He's given us a treasure. That treasure's name is Jesus. If we let go of that, if we forget that, we're not holding on anymore. If problems come into your life and it drives you away from your church, well, Pastor, I just can't come to church because I got all these problems. You better be in church when you got them problems. You should be in church before the problems come, but you better stay in church when the problems get here. Coming to church ain't going to get rid of your problems. It's going to help you through them because we'll be praying with you. Right? We'll be counseling you spiritually. We'll cry with you. We'll laugh with you. Amen. We're here for you. But you got to hold on. You got to hold on. People don't leave churches because there's something wrong with the church. People leave churches because there's something wrong with them spiritually. They stop holding on. They go to church for a while and things start getting better in their life and they leave. Well, I came to church when I didn't have a job, when I didn't have any money, when I didn't have any health, when I didn't have any friends. But I got all those things now, Pastor. I don't need to come to church. I'm just going to let go. My life is fixed now. I'm going to go enjoy it. They stop holding on. And what happens when you let go is you fall. Sometimes you don't even feel like you're falling. Until you come to that sudden stop at the end of that fall and you're desperately hurt because you did not hold on. For the ones that are here today, I pray that you will hold on. Hold on to what God has given you. Don't count it as little. Don't say, well, it's just a church. I could find those anywhere. No, you can't. You can't find a church family anywhere. Go try some other churches and see. Not everybody is going to welcome you. Not because they're bad, but not everybody knows you the way we do. If it was so good at another church, you'd be there, amen? You'd already be there. The only way you can hold on to Jesus is to get him. You can't hold on to something you don't have.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.